Translation. Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at all at any time disturbed by mental agonies, disease, or excessive heat or cold. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To be non-violent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. In this age there is enmity towards poor animals, and therefore the poor creatures are always anxious. The reaction of the poor animals is being forced on human society, and therefore there is always a strain of cold, war, or hot war between men, individually, collectively, or nationally. At the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there were no different nations, although they were different subordinate states. The whole world was united, and the supreme head, being a trained king like Yudhisthira, kept all the inhabitants free from anxiety, disease, and excessive cold and heat. They were not only economically well-to-do, but also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power. By enmity from other living beings and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies, they were not only economically well-to-do, but also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power, by enmity from other living beings and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies. There is a proverb in Bengali that a bad king spoils the kingdom and a bad housewife spoils the family. This truth is applicable here also. Because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, because he was no one's enemy, and because he was a recognized agent of the Lord and therefore protected by him, all the citizens under the king's protection were, so to speak, directly protected by the Lord and his authorities, as his authorized agents. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. There is full cooperation between man and God, and man and nature, and this conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhisthira, can bring about happiness, peace, and prosperity in the world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of the day, will only bring misery. Om Meganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarjajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishravanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're in the purport, it's explaining about what is real violence and what is real non-violence. And Bhagavad Gita explains this very nicely, that non-violence means that we don't interrupt the natural progression of the soul. It's not just the killing of the animal and giving it pain. It means that, you know, we're actually inhibiting it from fulfilling that particular body's duration of life. And therefore, the animal has to come back and go through the, you know, the amount of life that it should have experienced, which was stopped due to our interfering. So, you know, by the arrangement of the Lord, everything is very nicely in place. And this is why, even when it comes to the point of what is violence and what is non-violence, we have to understand things from the proper source, from the proprietor. The proprietor is the one who calls the shots. And, you know, in the world we see there are so many standards. But, you know, there's constant conflict because one standard is in conflict with another standard. Some people think it's okay to kill. I once saw a program, actually, it wasn't so long ago, I was visiting my brother, and there was a program on the television. There was one person, he was visiting the prison. It was death row, and he was interviewing the prisoners, and they were like unmoved by what they'd done, most of them. One of them was repentful, but he never changed his face. He was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done it, you know. And he said, I deserve to be killed, you know. Another one, he was presenting arguments to defend himself, which had holes in as big as this, you know. But, you know, one person he came to, he started interviewing him. He said, what did you do? He said, somebody paid me to kill somebody. He said, don't you feel bad about that? He said, no. So we can understand that this is no joke, is it? You don't want people like that loose. And so they, but for them, you know, that's okay. And then we get other people, they're actually so, what do they call, so gentle that they don't even want to tread on, you know, insects. This is the example of Margari. He was just like these murderers, he was murdering animals. And he knew the art of, you know, hitting them in the right place so they didn't die straight away. And then he used to watch them suffer. And then Narasimhuni saw this, he said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He says, you have to suffer more than they're suffering, in fact. Every time you make them suffer, it's going to come back to you. And he preached to him, and then he started to see the, you know, error of his ways. And eventually, by the association of Narada Muni, he completely went to the other end of the scale, and he was dodging ants. He wouldn't tread on an ant even. So, you know, Narada Muni is the authority, and because Margari followed his direction, he was able to understand what real non-violence is. And then we get the battle of Kurukshetra, you know, Arjuna. He's slaughtering millions of, you know, Arjuna, Bhima is covered in blood. And he's yelling on the battlefield and smashing elephants. And, you know, and this is a Vaishnav. And, you know, if anybody nowadays were judging what is good and bad, they'll think, they wouldn't be able to speak. They'd be so shocked. But that was good. And so, you know, in a devotee's life, we have to see what is good and what is actually according to authority. I once went into a, I didn't know it was a vegan place. And I was looking around for some honey. I thought, you know, honey, it's harmless, isn't it? You know, I said, I couldn't find it. I said, help me, where's the honey? And he said, we don't have honey in here. And I thought, you know, what's the matter with him? He's got out the wrong side of bed or something, you know. And then later on I realised it was actually a vegan thing. And I thought, you know, how stupid. You know, due to not following proper Shastra, we start thinking that we're holier than thou and we're actually going down the wrong track. We don't understand the full, the full equation. So in devotional service we'll find that there's so many contradictory things, or apparently contradictory things, which when we have experience due to association with those who are experienced, then we can see everything in its proper context. And Krishna's like that. He makes certain laws by which we should live, and then in certain situations he'll alter them a little bit. There's so many nuances. And the devotee has to learn all these things. He has to learn how to deal expertly in this world. Otherwise, we can become a little bit, what is it, what's the word, fanatical. So this is the first point. It's Satan's philosophy to, you know, not understand things properly. The road, what is it, the path to hell is paved with many good intentions. Of course, you know, this is a general, Krishna's in the heart, and even if we make a mistake, he understands and he'll correct us. So it's not exactly like that. But still, if we carry on along that path, then we can find ourselves in difficulty. So, you know, in the modern world, there's so many tribulations. Ajata Shatru means that he has no natural enemies. There's one verse to describe the qualities of a devotee in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Titikshishva Karunika Suridhar Savadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadava Sadabhushana. So this means that a devotee is tolerant. Due to knowledge, you can tolerate any situation. We can't be a jata shatru unless we're tolerant. If we're not tolerant, we don't learn anything. We just fly off the handle, and you know, and we just see things through the wrong perspective, and everybody thinks we're a fool. You know, we don't get any benefit. We have to tolerate, and then when we tolerate, we're able to see Krishna's hand in the situation. We're able to understand the Shastra and its application. So Titikshasva, this is the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, when we get in traffic, it's like we may start getting a little bit aerated. You know, we get so many situations in life where we think we have a right to say what we want, but no. We have to tolerate. We have to understand the philosophy. This thing's coming. Either, what's the reason it comes? What's the reason that these things come? I should have gone that way instead of this way. Now I'm in a traffic jam. Is that the reason? No. If we've gone that way, there'd probably be in a traffic jam as well. No, it's because, you know, especially in London. But, it's our karma. It's a karma. We have to see that whatever happens in life, we just have to tolerate. We're in a situation, we have to make the best use of a bad bargain, Prabhupada says. The waves are tossing us from one situation to another. And if we get caught in blaming the waves and blaming, then, you know, we're no better than an animal, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam. So tolerate. We see this example of the... Krishna always gives an extreme example. Incomparable example. Can you understand the example of the Pandavas? Even Bhima were completely bewildered. How can they stand such, you know, how can they stand such difficult circumstances? And, you know, Bhishma's a Mahajan. And Pandavas, they were put into a house of lack. What else were they? They were in forest for 13 years, were they? 13 years. One was 14, one's 13. 14, Lord Ramachandra, is it? Oh, that's it, 1 year incognito. You know, they had to tolerate all this. You know, at a gambling match, being cheated. And so, you know, their wife in the middle of... Can you imagine, you know? This is unbelievable tolerance. You know, wife there being stripped naked by this unruly kshatriya. And you have to sit there and watch it. And he did, due to his tolerance. They understood there's a reason behind this. They understood, you know, even if they understood religious principles, they were now slaves. So we have no reason. You know, Krishna's always giving the example. First thing, just learn to say nothing. Just get on with it. Don't tolerate. Tolerate with knowledge is best. We understand why these things happen. And then if we're a devotee, what do we have to tolerate? Krishna's direct intervention. He's giving us what we need at that particular time. Why? Because he knows this devotee has something to learn from this. And if we learn from that, then we move on. We don't have to tolerate that again. Or maybe in a more adverse situation, we may find it reoccurs. Karunika, merciful. Merciful to all. And this is the nature of a devotee. Unless we're tolerant, we can't be merciful. Merciful, Lord Chaitanya has given us the formula. That we, you know, the first thing in devotional service, what's the first thing? Is that we accept devotional service and we give devotional service to others. And everything else is secondary. Prabhupada was once asked about what happens if we're worshipping the deity. And we're the only one in the temple and somebody comes to the door, what do we do? He said, we put down the piece of chamara or whatever we're worshipping with. And we go and answer the door, and if necessary, we preach to the person. So, you know, preaching is through the deity as well. But Prabhupada's explaining that to preach is higher than just with deity worship. Karunika, Suridha Sarvadehinam. Sarvadeham. Sarvadeham means all embodied souls. He's friendly to all living entities. This is the same thing. It's an extension of preaching. This is real. And Ajata Shatrava. He has no enemy. Because he actually does that, then he has no real enemies. You know, there's so many enemies in this world due to, you know, leaders, people who take up, you know, the role of king or dictator or prime minister, president, and they act, you know, like hooligans. They're not even fit to look after a dog. You know, this is a reality. But still, and what happens is everybody's in this disturbance because they let, you know, untowards people start running society, just exploiting. So, yeah, Maharaj Yudhisthira was none of those things. He was Sadabhushan, I was, you know, he was peaceful because he was a devotee. He had real shanta. What's that verse? I can't remember the verse. It's like bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakala ashanta. Bhukti, whenever we have some material desire, no peace. Nishkam ateva. What is it? Bhakti, nishkama, teva, shanta. Bhakti. If we are a devotee, then we can have peace. Has anybody had that experience? We actually get something in his mind. It's like, oh, you know, we're being driven by the mind. Huh? It's great, isn't it? You know, the mind's driving us all over the place. And we're really enjoying it. Then all of a sudden, Krishna gives us some mercy and it goes away. Wow, this is what it's like to not follow the mind. And then 5 minutes later, we're off again, you know. So yeah, we have to be peaceful. And then we can, then people will see this person something different. He's got all auspicious, sada bhushan. Bhushan means, what's it called, that word? Ornament, the ornaments. So, so, what's that verse? Prayin alpa yasa shabya kalu vasge min yuge ganaha manda sumanda mataya manda bhagya upadrasaha. So this is from right at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is why we find it difficult to follow these principles that Maharaj Yudhisthira is following. You know, prayin alpa yasa. Alpa yasa means that, alpa means meager, yusha means duration of life. People think that the duration of life is increasing. And, you know, externally, the people who are living, they tend to live, you know, you look at the gravestones. If you go to, have anybody been to the graveyard lately? Yeah. You should. You should go and have a look. And, you know, the ages, they actually leave the body like 50 upwards to 70, and there's a few over 70. But now people, you know, the average age, according to the poll, is... In Japan is what, 84, maybe 85. England's about 80, 81. And India's about 65 or something like that. The average duration. So they say, oh, it's going up. But, you know, there's like millions of children being killed in the womb. So we have to see, take that into consideration. So alpa, you know, we have it. A short life, but we have the most expedient process by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Prayinalpayasa, Shabya, learned one. You know, speaking to all learned one. Kaluv, age of Kali. You know, when you have a leader who's not like Maharaj Yudhisthira, has anybody been in on Harinam? Into the middle of Watford. Yeah? And, you know, everybody's like this. And everybody's looking. And you know, it's like really ecstatic. And then you have to, and then the Harinam goes away saying, I've got to do some shopping. Has anybody done that? Then you go away from the Harinam. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the modes come on. And by the time you get back to the temple, it's like, you know, you're glad to get here. It's like the modes. So, you know, this is due to the activities that people are performing. I'm just trying to express that, you know, if we're all devotees and we follow the process properly, then we influence, you know, the association of devotees is hearing, but it's also touch. Like in kirtan, you know, somebody's like this, you know, they're not into kirtan. And then somebody says, come on, get into kirtan, and he's off straight away. You know, he gets that physical touch, there's, and so there's a subtle, the subtle energy is surcharged by the spiritual power which is there. And so first of all, we have to make sure that we're in that groove. First, just whatever service we do, it's not worth getting out of that groove of being in good consciousness. It just doesn't work. If we're in good consciousness, then everything will work. Even though we have so many responsibilities. Prabhupada never shirked on that, did he? He always kept transcendental consciousness like Maharaj Yudhisthira. You know, Prabhupada's daily routine, what was it? He took rest, I don't know what time, but I think it was about 10 o'clock. He slept well, 1 or something like that. You know, he did his translating for 2 hours, chanted his rounds, went on a walk, came back. You know, this is all spiritual activity. He came back, he gave class, he had prasadam. So there's like 9 hours gone by, 8 hours has gone by. There's not been one bit of material, you know, interface. And then he would have his massage. He went for a 2-hour walk, 1.5 miles, 2 hours before he started on health. Then another hour or maybe more having a massage before he had something to eat. Then he would take, he'd take a little bit of rest, and then he would see guests if there was any. Then in the evening he would go out preaching. Oh, I missed a little bit out, actually. He did, I think he did about half an hour to an hour's management. And that was it. That's according to the... I read it the other day, so... So, yeah, the spiritual engagement is which will keep us satisfied in devotional service. Suridhar Sarvide Dehinam. Yes, so Sadabhushana. We were talking about Prayanalpa Yasashavya, sorry. Manda Sumanda. Manda means lazy. Very difficult to practice in the age of Kali. Due to these elements, these opposing elements, the mind becomes very... So association. Association of devotees is something which can keep us from... On our own, we don't have a chance. So... Manda Sumanda means unfortunate. Is it Manda Sumanda? Unfortunate. That means that even if... What's that? Manda Matayo. One is unfortunate and one is misguided. So we're unfortunate in this age due to the very circumstance we're in and the association we get. And even if we're interested in spiritual life, we'll be misguided. There are so many... Bogi yogis. So this is a so. And at last, upadrudha, this means that always disturbed. Always disturbed. So that's just something. It's where toleration comes in. Although we're always disturbed. We don't get off the boat. We're practicing the process of devotional service and we're on the boat. So even though we're disturbed, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna gives a nice explanation that a devotee is one who's not too materially attached, where he's not too materially detached. He's neutral. And even if we can't remain neutral, we'll be pulled one way or the other. Later on in that particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that my devotee, although he cannot necessarily control his senses or control his mind all the time, and that he suffers, he should remain happy in devotional service. Why? How is that? You know, when the mind's disturbed, how can we... But he should understand this point. He should remain happy in devotional service. And he should understand that his untoward activities, he'll get a reaction. And that reaction will purify him and keep him on the right road. So we shouldn't be inimical to the process. Sometimes it's... I remember when I was a young devotee, I used to think, hey, I've been practicing for 6 months. And I'm still getting reactions. So as a senior devotee, you know, what is it? What's going on? He just said, take it easy, you know. Just carry on. So it'll be there. They're coming from maybe the past. They may be coming from things we're doing now. But just tolerate it. Just carry on. And eventually they'll become less and less and less. You know, Prabhupada says that. All the acharyas say that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it says that. Many, many persons became purified by this process and all attained transcendental love for me. So we shouldn't become... Vita Raga Bhayakroda. Vita Raga, we shouldn't become reattached. We should carry on with the process and we'll automatically become detached. We can't detach ourselves. It's the process of Krishna consciousness which detaches us. Carry on with a positive process. Vita Raga Bhaya. Bhaya means that we become fearful. We shouldn't be fearful. You know, we should read Shastra regularly and we don't become fearful. Fear means that ignorance. We don't understand the situation properly. And Bhaya Krodha, anger, this is the last thing we want to be, angry. This means we're completely in ignorance. We don't understand anything. And sometimes we can even become angry at those who are actually guiding us in devotional service. So this is very, this is not recommended. So anyway, I've just been through a few points here. So another point is authorized agent. Authorized agent means that we follow properly and then we become qualified to teach others. Authorized agent means we follow the process of Krishna consciousness according to the direction of Shastra and according to Prabhupada, actually. At the end of the day, we can go back to the Acharyas. Prabhupada says we can read the Acharyas' books in some cases. But we always come back to this modern age and we apply it according to Prabhupada's principle. And in that way, we don't interrupt anything. We don't spoil the progress of this movement. You know, there's four sampradayas, and they all have different moods according to their, according to the mood of the founder. And you know, the founder of that movement is called the, he's the founder for this particular age. You know, you've got Vishnu Swami, or a Nimbarka. Who else? Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Madhavacharya. But also we have Prabhupada. He's set up a particular process which is a little bit unique. Although we're part of a Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, we should understand that Prabhupada's, you know, made a movement called ISKCON, and this movement is under certain guidelines. So when we stay within the framework that Prabhupada, then we keep this process that he's given us very nicely working, wholesome. It's called mood and mission. It's not that others are wrong, but there's a particular mood and mission in ISKCON, and we should be careful to protect that. Just like Maharaj Yudhis here is very careful that to protect everybody under his supervision. Anybody heard of Henry VIII? He's called Defender of the Faith. And that's a king. He's a defender of the faith. Actually, in the beginning, when, you know, the Catholics, there was a Vedic system on, you know, don't let anybody read the Shastras. You know, they'll get it wrong. They'll interpret them according to their uneducated way. So, you know, the priests in the temple used to read the Shastras and tell the congregation, and Martin Luther thought, you know, I want to read the Shastra. I don't want to listen to somebody else, and, you know, I want to also read them, which is not wrong if he's qualified. And so he started his own movement, Protestant movement, and that spread throughout Europe, and it got to the shores of the UK, and Henry VIII stopped it. And so the Pope, I said this last time, didn't I? The Pope, he gave him, he thanked him, he says, he gave him the name Defender of the Faith. And every king from that time, has been, and the Queen even, they call her the Defender of the Faith. And that's actually the position of the of the king. So it's also the position of the of this movement. That, you know, we're also leaders of society. So we should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhisthira and of Henry VIII. Okay. Thank you very much. Has anybody got any comments or questions? It's nearly past 11.